From the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I can speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Don't say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, say the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my word in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Glory be to God. Amen. The topic today concerning the servant of God and the church. In fact, not only the servant, but every believer as a member of the church must have the same characteristic of the church. If we want to be successful in our life, spiritual life, in our ministry, and to work according to God's will, it is hard to me to say to share the church its characteristic, but in fact, the characteristics of the church must be my own characteristics. I cannot separate myself from the church. I can't say I am like the church because I am the church. And the church, in fact, is the whole community, the priesthood and the laymen together. All the believers are the church. The first characteristic of the church, that the church was in the mind of Christ before she was created. And it is in the mind of God. He prepared everything for her for a long time, thousands of years. Some fathers said that she was in the mind of God from eternity. But at least before she was born or created, the church was in the mind of God. Here, Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, God said to him, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. We have to trust that not by or through chance that we became ministers or servants or teachers of Sunday school or taking care of the salvations of others. It is in divine plan. I am in the mind of God. God chose me and I am truly in the mind of God. He is interested in me. I am very special in the view of God. The problem sometimes we look to the church as a kind of social institution. In fact, the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is in the mind of the groom. He prepared everything for her. When I speak concerning the church, I am speaking concerning myself. I came to this world by chance, not just my father married my mother and I came. No, God knew me by name. before I was born. He had special plan for me. I have special message in this world. He arranged everything for my message to be successful. Therefore, I am working through with the spirit of the church. I trust in my God. I am supported with Him. I believe that I truly can fulfill His message through His grace or through His plan. Everything, even the numbering of our hairs, are well known to God. Then every tribal thing in my life is very important for God Himself. I love the words of Saint Gregory of Nyssa, who used to speak with the people saying that man is the dearest creature in the mind of God. We can't imagine how God is concerned in every single person, especially those who are members of the church. I believe what we have received now, or what we enjoy now, cannot be compared when we will be on the cloud with the Lord Jesus Christ on the last day, and we discover the glory which the Lord prepared for us. And this is not only for me, it is the message which we can present to others. And our message, in fact, is not just to give some dogmas, some doctrines, but at first, how God loves us, how He prepared everything for the future glory, which we have its pledge now, and surely we will receive it through the grace of God. I remember when I was in New Jersey from a couple of years, one of the persons, he was from Alexandria, he came and he was very upset. I said, "Why you are upset?" He said, "My خطيبة, she called him and said to him, before you come for marriage, you have to buy for me a car to rent the apartment, to buy all the furniture, and to make a video for all these things, and send all these now. And he will go after a year," and she had no visa, and he at that time haven't even the citizenship. Yani at least 2 or 3 years, she will come to United States. He said, "How can I buy a car and I leave it 3 years until she will come, or I rent a flat or apartment for 3 years, and so on?" It is a mentality of an Egyptian person, not American, because here in 1 hour, even by internet, I can buy all these things. He tried invalid to convince her that this mentality totally different, or the circumstances in United States totally different than the circumstances in Egypt. After he left, I said, "Oh, he couldn't prepare this thing for 3 years. The Lord Jesus Christ said to us from 2,000 years, I will ascend to prepare special place for you, and when I will prepare, I will come, and He will come and take us to the, not apartment, but to the place where we will be with the groom eternally." I said, if a human being, and it is logic, cannot prepare for 3 years an apartment and a car and furniture, and the Lord Himself is involved for preparing special place for me at least from 2,000 years. And according to Saint Paul, before the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in preparing the house or the heavenly place for us. Therefore, truly, after I met this person, truly from all my heart, I felt I can't imagine what the Lord is preparing for me. And surely the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is involved in preparing for the eternal marriage or the celebration on which at that time all the angels, archangels, or the heavenly hosts, the Father will be. We can't imagine how the Father opened his bosom for all the church and also the Holy Spirit who works in us to prepare us for this marriage. The Lord himself who sacrificed himself for this marriage. It is impossible for any human being or any even angel or archangel or one man of the heavenly host to imagine what God is preparing for us. In fact, this is the main message for us as churchmen, how to lift up the hearts of men to heaven so that they may desire to be glorious on the last day, and how they can see in the church an icon of the heavenly church. When I think in 1980, I started for 1 year to study the life and the writings of Saint John Chrysostom. I was astonished how Saint John Chrysostom was truly man of suffering. He suffered too much from his childhood until the last moment of his life. Sometimes even the bishops, the priests, the monks, the people, sometimes the empress, many were against him. But at the same time, when you read his works, you feel how he was very joyful. He was full of joy. I asked myself how he was man of suffering. At the same time, I can say he was a source of joy, not for himself only, but also for others. It is because he used to say, the church is an icon of heaven. When he looked to the church as an icon of heaven, all the problems were solved. He was truly full of joy. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of joy within himself, therefore it is his message to create the atmosphere of joy wherever he was or whenever he was. Therefore, we are called before we were born, and we are called to be in eternity. Although we are born in special time, and we will live for only limited time, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, I discovered that I was in the mind of my Christ before I was born, and I will live with him for eternity. Second thing, we astonish how the Lord or God said to Jeremiah, behold, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Verse 5. We know Jeremiah was a prophet of nations or one nation? One nation? For Israel. Why God said to him, I ordained you two nations. There are many interpretation to this verse. At first, Jeremiah was in fact symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. All what he did, it was because he was a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when he worked, although he was working among Israel, but in fact he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the whole world. And he has prophecies concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ among all nations. Second thing, Jeremiah knew that in fact, although he worked for a limited time, but his work will continue after his death. Therefore, he discovered that he was sent not only for one nation, Israel, he was sent for the whole world. Now, we in fact are ministered by Jeremiah. When we read his prophecies, we discover the divine love, we discover the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ, his redeeming work. Then Jeremiah discovered that although he worked while he was here in this world, but even after his departure from this world, he will work among others by the prophecies and by his prayers. I can't imagine, as Saint Jerome said, we can't imagine those who love the salvation of men while they were in this world. After departure from this world, they stopped their message and said, oh, we don't care about the world. Never. Saint Jerome said, if some port, in fact, was inflamed with love, he wants every human being to be saved. If he is a slave or a master, if he was Greek or Jewish, if he was married or unmarried, what if he was a child or an elder, all mankind was in the heart of Saint Paul. He said, Saint Jerome said, do you imagine that Saint Paul, after his departure from this world, would stop his love to concerning the salvation of mankind? Never. Surely his love will be increased. And when he looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and discovers the glory which is prepared, especially on the last day, for all mankind, he would pray more and more, asking for the salvation of mankind. Therefore, when we are working, we have not to limit our ministry here in this world. We always say, I plus I equal zero, plus the Lord Jesus Christ, which equal unlimited, infinite, the two together equal what? Infinite. When I am supported with the Holy Trinity, then I believe God will work through me in unlimited way. I can work while I am living here in this world, and I can work by prayer when I will leave this world. We have to trust that God is working through us and in us, and this work never be stopped at all until the last advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we hear God said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations, it means perhaps you will see that you are unsuccessful, because you know the circumstances in which Jeremiah lived when his people was in captive and he himself was obliged to go to Egypt, and there he was killed also in Egypt by his people. From outside, Jeremiah was in failure. He couldn't prevent the people, or he couldn't make the people to repent. All his people, the king, the statesmen, the high priest, the priests, all the leaders, the religious leaders, civil or military leaders, all of them were against him. Even his relatives were against him. From outside, it was very dark. And perhaps he was, why God put me in this situation? When he looked to his work until this day, but until the last advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, he discovered he was very successful. He opened the way to many persons to discover the personality and the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the spirit of the church. We work, and we have to work very hard. We don't look what happens today. We have to look, God is working even among us. I tell you a story. Once a person came to a priest, and he was repenting, and he started to speak and to confess. Then he said to him, "From where you are?" He said, "Not from the area of the church. It is the first time I came to confess." Then he said, "Why you came to me?" He said, "Oh, I tell you why I came to you. Yesterday I was in the station of the tramway. While the tramway did not stop, while it was running, you jumped from the tramway." I said, "Oh, this priest can understand me because God used even our faults. Even our faults can use it for the salvation of others." And he said, "For that, it was the first time I returned to my home, started to repent and said, I will confess this father." I remember also to know how God is working even with our faults. I remember a lady came to me, and she was in very critical situation. She was weeping. There was a problem in her work, and she was very afraid from the situation. And she asked my advice. On the second day, I called her, "What you did?" She said, "Oh, you saved me by your advice." Then I said, "What you did?" She heard all what I said in the negative way. Yani, what I said, it was the bad advice, but she heard the opposite. And she was saved from the problem. God is working even with our faults. We have to believe, as we are truly in the hands of God. We have our faults, we have our weakness, but as we are in the hands of God, and sincerely we want the salvation of men, surely God will work through us. I remember also a person, now he is a monk, and he said to me, before he was admitted to the monastery, he was from Upper Egypt. And he was in a problem, and he said to me, especially in Upper Egypt, because the country is very small and hard the person to speak frankly sometimes with the priest, he said, it was very shameful to me to speak with this priest. And he prayed and said, "God, it is hard for me to speak frankly with my father in confession." He said to me, when I met my father in confession, he used to say, "Oh, what about you? How are you today?" And so like that. He said, before he said these words, he gave me the solution of the problem before he asked. And after he finished, he said, "Oh, how are you? What is?" And it started as if all what he said before, it was as if he was far away. He didn't see me. God is working, and we believe how God is working in us if we sincerely want to live according to His will in the church spirit. The third thing, and we said, we are called even before we was born. We accept this call from the hands of God Himself. Second thing, our ministry is limited. We believe God is working by all means, although we are very weak and although we have our faults. What also very important, what said God to Jeremiah? He said to him, "Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see?" And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. God himself called the almond tree the word of God. And Jeremiah was looking to the almond tree. It means he was focusing his eyes on the word of God, the Bible. The Bible is the book of the church. And we have always to focus our eyes on the Bible. Not only by memorizing the Bible on heart, but to enjoy the essence of the Bible. What is the Bible, in fact? The Bible is not just words written in a book. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. When I see the Bible, I penetrate into the Bible to enjoy the groom of the church. I don't say study the Bible. He didn't say to him, read the Bible. He said, what do you see? An almond tree. And he looked, he found the Bible as if it is a fruit. He has to eat it, to taste it. And David, the king and prophet, said that how the word of God is very sweet. And in Psalm 119, many times he spoke about the pleasure which he felt while he was eating the word of God. And Jeremiah himself also spoke about the sweetness of the word of God. The problem, we sometimes read the Bible as just to prepare a lesson, as if it is some commands we have to teach, or it is jump stories so that the others may enjoy. No. The Bible, in fact, is to enter into the Bible, into the wedding room with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the church. What is the church? It is a wedding celebration in which all the believers from Adam till the end are gathered together in the bosom of her groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we enjoy the Bible, in fact, we are in continuous feast. When a person or a little lady is, when she, after marriage, after a year, we said, oh, you are a bride. She said, oh, for a year I was a bride. Now I am not bride. In the Bible, we are continuous bride. We never become old. Even if our age become 100 or 150 years, because we are in continuous celebration of marriage with the Lord Jesus Christ until his last advent. And on his last advent, all the church from Adam till the end of the ages will be celebrated, and this marriage will continue us eternity. Therefore, the angels are very cautious. They are waiting this day, the last day, joyfully. They were looking to see the beauty of the church at that time. Therefore, when we are looking to Jeremiah, he was seeing the almond tree. It means that he was focusing his eyes on the Word of God, on the Lord Jesus Christ as the groom of the church. When I read the Bible, even in my private room, I do not read it as if I am an individual. I don't like the word individual, because there is no individuals in the church. There is personal. We are one. I am a member of the church, and there is a personal contact between me and God, but there is no separation between me and others. Even in my private room, I love the whole world. I pray for every human being. Saint John Chrysostom used to say to the priest, although he was the Archbishop of Constantinople, he didn't say, oh, you are responsible of this area, and the other priest responsible in the other area, and so on. He used to say that to them, the priest is the father of the whole world, not only of Christians, even the non-believers. He has a fatherhood. His heart is an icon of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is lover of all mankind. Not only the priest, who is the father of the whole world, but every Christian, when he is baptized and he becomes a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has open heart, his heart is open to every human being. I can't imagine any Christian, real Christian, can see any enemy for him or against him in this world. How? How can I say there is an enemy or one against me? If the whole world are against me, I love every human being. Tertullian in the 2nd century said to the emperor, we know that the world hates the church. The church loves all the world and she wants to wash the feet of the world. Then the servant of God who want to have the spirit of the church, he has to know that the word of God is his message, and this word of God is to participate in the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the bride of the heavenly groom. Origen used to spend almost all the night in praying, kneeling, and reading the Bible while he was kneeling. He was not just bringing some volumes to have some interpretations of the Bible. He was kneeling and praying, and he read the interpretation of the early fathers before him. And used to preach. He attracted many of the pagans not to be Christian only, but also to be martyrs in the church. He attracted many bishops from all over the world to hear him. And we can't imagine how he attracted many people to Christ. I am not speaking about his faults. We cannot ignore his faults, even in some doctrines. But in the Bible, he loved the Bible. Once he asked God, can I enjoy more glory in heaven than what I enjoy while I am reading the Bible? He couldn't imagine that there is he will receive more glory in heaven than what he received while he was reading the Bible. What does it mean? It means when he used to read the Bible, he was in a glorious state, and he couldn't imagine that there is any glorious situation more than what he received while he was reading the Bible. Is it our situation now? When we read the Bible, we feel we are in heaven itself. When I read the Bible, I meet the Lord Jesus Christ as the groom of the church. When I read the Bible, I feel truly I am a real member of the body of the church, which St. Peter said that we participate in the divine nature. We are in a glorious situation. We have not to belittle ourselves because we are members of the real church. Therefore, I hope truly, as servants of God, we are in need. I want to speak also practically. We have to be serious concerning reading the Bible. But I don't say reading, nor studying, tasting that sweetness of the Bible. We have to enjoy the Bible as servants of God, and we are in need to discover how our early fathers enjoyed the Bible. For a long time, when I started, I think from 1954 or 55, I started to read the commentaries on the Bible from the Holy Fathers. From that time, I couldn't imagine how our fathers enjoyed the Bible and discovered the depth of the Bible. And I believe what they wrote is just what they could express. But you feel that sometimes their hearts were inflamed with the love through reading the Bible. And from these feelings, I started to write in Arabic, and afterwards some books are translated in English to write about commentaries and contemplation on the Bible, the Old and the New Testaments. We are in need to enjoy what our early fathers enjoyed. Second thing, we are in need to write for our kids, even the primary school, the high school, for the students of universal, for every group, we have to write for them about the sweetness of every book of the Bible. For example, when we speak about the Old Testament, usually when I ask some people what you read, they said, oh, we read the New Testament. It is too hard for us to read the Old Testament. I want to tell you, for a long time, this is a confession, until I became a priest, and after my priesthood, or my ordaining a priest, for a long time when I read the book of Numbers, I used to read just some chapters, then pass when I found the names and the trip and so on, and then I read the end. Until 1980, and I found the book of Origen, his commentary or homilies on the Numbers. It was at that time in French, now it is also in English. And I asked somebody to translate it from French to Arabic. For 3 months, I couldn't read any other book in the Bible except the book of Numbers. I discovered how the book of Numbers is very, very sweet. And what I didn't understand before, I found it is, in fact, gave me a new depth in my relationship with the church, or my church, or my relationship with the Father, with God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. For example, when he spoke about the trip itself, he said there are 4 groups. Group in the east, in the west, north, and south, and the trip started for about 40 years. And the first group under the standard of Judah, and so on. And he said, if you are looking from above, if you have a flight and look to the group, what you will see? A cross. And who is the leader? Jesus Christ from Judah. What inside, in the midst, you find another cross. On the top, you find Moses, is the symbol of the word of God. Aaron is the high priest, the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Levites means the work of the Lord in the church. Then Origen said, when you look from above, you see the strip of the church. It passed from Ramesses, which means in his mind confusion, and passed until they entered through Jordan River under the guidance of Joshua to their promised land. What does it mean? It means we can pass from our confusion, from our weakness, from our corruption, to the promised land, the heavenly promised land, to the incorruption, unless we accept the Lord Jesus Christ who is crucified, and we accept him dwelling within us, and we have to share him his crucifixion, and we pass in this world until we, through the baptism, we enter in the eternity itself. When you see this trip, you will not ask, what does it mean for me, the trip for 40 years from Egypt to the promised land? It is my own trip. It is my own trip. Every station, I think he said about 42 or 43 stations, he said the same generations of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came so that we may attain eternity. Every station, every event in this trip has its meaning in my life as a member of the church. Therefore, when we study the Bible, we taste the sweetness of our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and discover the divine love of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to tell you my feelings till now. Many times, sometimes I feel that I want to start from the beginning to rewrite concerning the Bible. I can't feel satisfaction because every time when I read to one of the fathers of the church, I said, why I wrote what I have written? I have to rewrite them again. The Word of God, in fact, through the interpretations or the commentaries of the fathers, in fact, cannot be limited, limitation, but the commands of God is unlimited. لكل وصية وجدت حدا أما وصاياك فواسعة جدا. We are in need, in fact, to enjoy the Bible through the work of the church, the early church, and discover the sweetness of the Word of God. At the end, what about the person who want to serve through the church? Through the church, when we look to Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ from outside was very weak, especially on the cross. When you look to him, you will say the same words of Isaiah, without beauty. He was full of sufferings, of wounds. He imagined at first as he was unacceptable from God and men. And when he deepened his sight inside the Lord, he discovered he is the Logos of God. He is a sacrifice on behalf of the whole world. He, in fact, is the Lamb of God and the Savior of the world. This is, in fact, not only concerning the groom. It is also concerning the bride. From outside the church, has sometimes you see some problems, sometimes some weakness, but inside you will discover the risen Christ is working within her. We have to discover that the church, in fact, is the heavenly groom. I enjoy the church as I am a member of her. And I hope everyone, don't be involved in any problem. Don't be involved in any problem. I believe if truly we are men of prayer and we put all our problems in the hands of God, surely God will work for the salvation of the whole world. I remember once there was even a bishop, and he was very excited and worried about a problem in Egypt. An old bishop asked this bishop, why you are worried about the church? He said, because this law will be against the church. Then he said to him, who is taking care of the world? He said, God. He said, and you are taking care of God. Why you are worried? It is the church of Christ. Believe in Christ. Put all the problem in the God. Truly we have to do all our best, but without being in worry. We have to trust everything will be for our edification. I will tell you just an example, practical example with Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine said that, you know, he faced the problem of Pelagius and his followers. He said, even those heretics, they perhaps attracted some of the people and on their works, and he despised the grace of God. He believed that by our minds, without the grace, we can be saved. We can know God by our minds, not through revelation. Almost, this is the main idea of Pelagius or his heresy. Saint Augustine, who was involved in this problem, didn't lose his quietness or his inner peace. He said, when there are some heretics and they attack the Bible or some verses of the Bible, we start to deepen our studying in the Bible. We taste the sweetness of the Bible. If there are no heretics, we will eat the Bible like a sandwich. When there are some heretics, we taste the deep sweetness of the Bible. Everything can be changed for our edification and for our glorification. Don't be afraid concerning the future of the church. The church is the church of Christ. You have to pray and to ask God for the salvation of all mankind, and don't be in trouble. For me, I hope always not to be involved in problems, because I feel we waste our time in the problems. Then, reading the Bible, lifting up our hearts to God, it is for our edification and for the work of God. When we put all these problems in the hands of God, surely everything will be for our edification. And all the problems of the church, at the end, these problems ended by more success. And at the end, we discovered the work of God in the church. Therefore, we never become worried about the church. It is his church. It is not my church. Truly, I am a member of the church. But I have to trust in the work of God. God is working in the church. And he is the Almighty One. He is the Father. He is more kind than any creature in heaven or on earth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the wisdom of God. We are not more wise than God. He never be separated from his church. I hope truly when we work, we have these ideas in our heart. At the end, I hope something. We have to pray for the whole world. We do not limit ourselves in a group. You don't say, I am a member of the church of St. Mary, St. Mark, St. George, in Melbourne. Truly, I am a member in the church. I have my responsibilities, my rights, all that. But I am a member of the universal, of the Catholic, of the church all over the world. I hope all the world, Christians or non-Christians, to be saved, to enjoy the Holy Trinity, to be one bride and the whole will be glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel it is a sin that in any prayer you don't mention in your prayers for the salvation of the whole world. It is an obligatory responsibility for every person, even the children. We have in every prayer to ask God, we can't be happy unless we see the whole world become the one Bible, one church, with one faith, for one groom, and to enjoy the same glory on the last day. Truly, there is many stars, but the glory of the whole church is the Lord Himself. I believe if we can take this spiritual exercise, every morning we make some mataniyat, at least 10, plus your mataniyat. One for the salvation of the whole world, one for those who work in the church, one for your family, one for your special persons, and so on. If all of us do that, surely God will work not only in the church in Melbourne or in the Coptic church, in the whole world, and surely God will reveal His will according to His wisdom, not according to our wisdom. I will tell you just a story because I didn't tell any story now. Once I was in Tanta, I gave a sermon in the Feast of Saint Damiana. And I told them that we have an exercise, spiritual exercise, to make 10 mataniyat every day concerning the bishops, the relatives, and so on. On the next year, I was called to give a sermon in the same feast. Then a person came, entered the sanctuary and said to me, "Do you remember what you said last year?" I said, "No, I can remember from 10 minutes what I have said." He said, "No, I will tell you. You said so and so. Do you know, I have a daughter, I think at that time she was 11 years old." He said to me, "She made every day 11 mataniyat." I said, "Why 11? He said, "Oh, she makes the 10 what you said and one for you." I couldn't imagine a child like in this age, how her heart is truly ready to wear. And I felt it is a blessing for me that there was a child all the year was making mataniyat, so God will do or work in my, through me. We hope that we do that. That every morning before your prayers, the morning prayer, to make some mataniyat for the whole world at first. We want the whole world. Don't be despaired when you hear about Islamic activities, what happened in the East, in the West. Don't despair. Trust in the work of God. And surely, when we trust in God, God through our prayers in the heart of others. Once I asked the children to know the spirit of the church, what will be our color in heaven? Do you believe the black men? You know, in United States, sometimes some problems concerning the colors, the white, the black, those from the Middle East, Japanese, and so on. Do you think our shape will be changed and we will have the same color or not? What is the answer? What do you think? Aksam Nurani. And we will lose our sheep? It's the same body? But will be glorified. Spiritual? But we have the body, the same body as the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was risen, He has the same body but was glorified. I told them, truly our nature will be changed, but the same body. But if we have many mirrors, and the background of the mirror is, one is like silver, the other like gold, the other is green, and so on. And there is the light. Not say, oh, the background is so and so, because it's very... The flesh is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will see in all other members the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Therefore, in heaven there is no problem between black and white, Japanese and Egyptian and Middle Easterns and so on. This is the spirit to create, and the children, how they love all mankind and feel that we are members of the same body.